Open your Bibles up to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And go to verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Well, praise God. Aren't you glad we're in church? Yes. Praise God, we're all in church. This is where we get our spiritual food. Amen. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to get into the Word of God before we get into the water. And I ask that, Father, that you bless the ears of the listener. Father, may we listen with our spiritual ears as well as the natural. And we thank you for it. And we know that everything will give increase off of the message today. For you have put it in my heart for them to grow by it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, last week we introduced about the promises of God. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us." And I love this verse because it tells us two things right off the bat. In other words, all the promises of God, without you having to pray about it, are yes. Isn't that good? Hello? Somebody asked me, well, what are the promises of God? We have several books that are in print where you can actually order the books, and they have it listed in there what are all the promises of God. If I was to cover all the promises of God, people, we would be here for quite a while. But the best thing to do is get yourself some material that lists the promises of God. Now, I know Mark Hankin. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of him. He's a minister that is out of Rhema. He has a book that's tremendous, and he lists all the promises of God in this particular book. And so I can't remember the title of it. I wish I'd have brought the book down, but I enjoy that book because every once in a while I go to it and I reference ministry scriptures in it for myself, and it's really powerful. And of course, Mark Hankins is a wonderful man. But two things are mentioned here. Number one, God says when it comes to his promises, they are yes. And number two, that the word mentioned, amen, literally means so be it. And a lot of times we miss that second part to the promises of God. Literally, that's our responsibility. When we say so be it, we're literally saying we are willing to submit ourselves to that promise. Because actually the word amen, so be it. So, in other words, if he says yes to a promise, then we should say, so be it. It belongs to me. Praise God. Amen. And so that's a good thing to know. But, you know, when we talk about the promises of God, and many of us have, we don't realize why those promises were given to us. And having to deal with some things in my own personal life concerning fear, worry, anxiety, because all of us face it. Someone told me, he says, well, I don't claim no fear. I don't claim no worry. And so don't tell me I have fear or I have worry. I said, oh my gosh, where's your rocket ship? Because certainly you don't live here on a consistent basis. What planet have you come from? You know, that's like saying, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Well, you need to define what you mean by that. Because if you're in this world, then you're in a perfect environment. Is that correct? We're living in a fallen world, in case you haven't figured it out by now. All you have to do is turn your television on, and it'll tell you how fallen this world is. But we do not live in a perfect environment. But there's something that we have to do about our environment, and that is to live above what we're living in. And that's the purpose that God has come to give us, his promises, so that we can live in the promises that we've inherited through him to live above this fallen world and to do something good about this fallen world. Amen? And so it's important to understand the promises of God, and it's important to understand them according to the term yes. You know, there's some doctrines going out that actually teach you that you have to earn your right to a promise. Well, he forgot to mention that there in that verse. And so you have to be careful, especially how you hear things or you hear from people, because not all people have faith. Not all people are qualified teachers. So you have to really let the Holy Spirit be your inner ear when you're listening to what others are preaching or saying. But this morning, I've got some good news for all of us, including myself, what it really means to deal with the issue of worry, anxiety, the anxiousness that can attach itself to us because we live in this fallen world. And one way that we have to face the uncertainties of life is what the Lord Jesus had provided for us to face these uncertainties. And many believers, they live in this world, but they don't live in the world that they're supposed to live in once they've received Christ. Did you know that you are to live in the kingdom of God while you're in this falling world? And there are believers who have inherited the kingdom of God, but they're not living in the kingdom of God. They're living out of their natural life in this world. And nothing can be more discouraging for us than to belong to another place to live and dwell in, and yet we're living in the lower parts of this realm or this fallen world. Did you know that when Jesus came up out of the water and qualified for everyone for repentance unto salvation to be saved, the first thing, and many of you might not remember this, but the first thing was that he was led by the Spirit. And he was led into the wilderness. Now, there was something about that being led, because he had to literally qualify for everything that he was going to secure his promises with. He was led in the wilderness by the Spirit to obtain or to qualify for his death on that cross. And so really the cross was won not in the Garden of Gethsemane when he poured out his stress by what he had to face, but actually what he did is he qualified himself through the backside of the desert, and that is to defeat the adversary so that the promises could be secured by us. And so that's very important to know that. But many of us, we don't know how to deal with the cares and stress of this life because we're so prone to it. Every one of us, including me. And the things that have helped me over meditating through this stress or fears that we all face occasionally, every one of us do, is the fact that I don't know about you, but I want out of it. But I found out that there's no such thing as going to a place where you never have another care or worry. Isn't that a bummer? Well, then, like I said, you have to leave this planet. But we can't. We just can't fly away. I know that there's going to come a time when we'll all fly away, but I mean, we're living here. We're not flying away, you know. And I've never known a care or worry or being under stress that ever made me feel like, well, maybe that's wrong. I have felt like I wanted to disappear someplace. But none of us like to be there. Do you like to be there? I don't think any of us like to be there. But I have discovered something that it is so precious to me that because I end up occasionally worrying or get into stress or anxiety, I used to say, that's sin. How many of you ever heard somebody say, if you're worrying, if you're in care, or you're in stress, you're in sin? How many of you have heard that? I've heard it from myself. And I found out that is not true. That is not true at all. When you are in worry or care or stress, you are not deliberately in sin. It literally means something that has come to you that you can do something about. It is not something that you will. How many of you will to sin? If you will to sin, you got a problem. And so, first of all, right away, the Lord was speaking to me about when we get into the cares and stress of life, and it can come in many forms and shapes, but thank God the promises of God cover all of it. Amen. Praise God. But he's beginning to show me now how to deal with the thing. And to me, that's more advantage to me than anything else. And so I begin to really look at this issue of worry and care and strife. And I remember here this verse, 2 Corinthians 1:20, that the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen. Our part, yes, amen. I'm willing to submit to those promises. When you're under care, stress, or worry, or feeling condemned, condemnation and everything, did you know that that's not you willfully sinning? That happens to be something that comes upon you through this natural realm. Did you know that once you became a Christian, Satan didn't disappear from your life? No. So, for some reason, he's hanging around. And there's going to be a time when he can't. Praise God. But with that thought in mind, I want us to go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, let's go there. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace, grace and peace be multiplied. I like that. Be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we could say this way, that pertain to this natural life and spiritual life. That's where godliness comes in. Now I want you to notice this. Through the knowledge of him who called us, notice, to glory and virtue. To glory and virtue. Isn't that interesting? To glory and virtue. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Notice this. That through these, what? Through these great and precious promises, through these great and precious promises that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust or wrong desire. Right. Now, it says the corruption that is found in this world through lust or wrong desire literally means that this world can plant within you a desire, but if it's not of God, the desire that can come in and become a part of your life can also bring a corruption to your life. It can ruin you. It can bring you down. It can take you from one place to another place. And I call it the place of what God has given you in the promise to that which is inferior to the promise. And I found out that one way that you and I can accomplish and do that is by taking a care or a stressful, worrying place, catch it, and live in it. Now, I thought something was very interesting. The translators in Matthew 6, 25 through 33 has very interesting verses before and after the verses that talk about taking care or worry or anxiety. You also find this in Luke chapter 12, verses 20 through to 34. You'll also find a bunch of scriptures in there, but in the middle of them scriptures, it talks about or gives identity not only to the issue of worry and anxiety or care, but these verses that surround this kind of statement are very interesting to take note of. And I started to take note of them. And what I've noticed is six things that affect us when it comes to worry or cares or strifes. You see, sometimes when you're studying the word contextually, it's very interesting. Jesus, when he spoke, or a lot of times when the apostles spoke, they spoke in contextual. What I mean by that is when they said one thing, another thing followed it for another thing to follow it, for another thing to follow it. In other words, they were putting together an understanding in us of an issue that is being expressed in Scripture. And so in Matthew chapter 6, when you're getting to verse 25 through 33, these verses surround the issue of worry and cares or anxiety. And so I had to start taking note of the verses that were before these issues and after these issues. And it amazed me that I began to see something. How many of you ever heard the statement, if you would step out of the trees, you could see the whole forest? Well, that's what I'm kind of saying to you. Sometimes we're so much into the forest that we don't get the overall picture of what we're in. And sometimes we have to step out of it so that we can see the whole picture of the forest, so to speak. And so I begin to take note by going to these places that we're mentioning about the issue of worry and strife. And I begin to notice some key things that surrounded worry and strife. Number one, the issue of a promise. The issue of a promise is mentioned. Number two, prayer is mentioned. Number three, what you see is mentioned. And number four, what changes take place. And number five, they always deal with the issue of your faith, or should I say trust. And number six is the issue of peace. So why am I bringing up these verses that seem to surround it? Well, number one, when it comes to the promises of God, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 16, it says, there has not been anything that escaped the all-seeing eye of God that you and I would not have need of. Which tells me that the promises of God are found in the Word of God, which literally means that God put the Word together concerning His promises so that every single thing we have need of is found in the Word of God.
Amen.
Found there. Isn't that good news? It's found there. Glory to God. Now, you got to worry, you got to care, you don't know what to do, go to your Bible.
That's right. Amen, Pastor.
Because I can go to my Bible and find in there that there has not been one thing that he overlooked, but we're accountable to that word. Now, our translators put in there, we're accountable to Jesus. No, we're not. In the Greek there, it says, we're accountable, therefore you're accountable to the word that he left us. If we were accountable to him, then that means he would still have to be alive on planet Earth, walking here for us to go to him. But blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. So the issues of promises are very strong, very confirmed, and they are have not escaped anything from him that he is not aware of what you have need of. Amen. Whoo, that's good word. Whether you like it or not, I like it. Number two, prayer. Why is prayer always mentioned when it gets into that area? Because if you do not have some kind of prayer life, you have no way of communicating to him. You know what? You want a marriage to dissolve real quick, like? Quit talking to each other. Some of you ladies, you know what I'm talking about. He never says anything. Right, Sue? You just come in and you're just like a log. You never say anything. You just sit there and get the TV going. Well, if you've married somebody, they like communication. Number two, what you see. Do you know what that means? I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Hold your place there in 2 Peter because we're going to come back here. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, wrong. If it's clear or healthy. If what you're seeing is clear and healthy. How many of you know the promises of God are very clear? And they're healthy. And so here he brings up this issue. Your eye is clear or healthy. One translation put it this way. If the eye is clear, clean, your whole body will be full of light. No, your whole body will be healthy. You know one thing about worry and care and strife? Creates sickness in us. Creates pressure of disease and things like that. We're not more susceptible to what the world has to attach it to us. Some of us are like Velcro. Everything sticks to us. And that's what happens to people that get into care and strife and worry because they always see the negative. And when you see negative, guess what? The next step is it comes out your mouth. And notice what he goes on to say. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You know what? Sometimes we get into care and strife and we think just because we take the care, we care. Did you know that just because somebody refuses to take the care doesn't necessarily mean that they're wrong? They could be right. No, you've taken the care. I'm not going to. Oh, you just don't care. Okay, well then what I need to do then is get into a tizzy just like you. Now, he says, no one can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other. Now, what is he going into? Now, he's going into the situation of what you see. And people who get into care, stress, and worry, the only thing that they can see is money will buy my way out of this. It's money. It can buy my way out of this. And then he goes on to say, you can't serve the kingdom of God and money at the same time because it doesn't do anything for your care or worry. Well, in the natural, hubba bubba, I could use all the money I can get a hand on, you know. But he's dealing with something inward here in us. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Well, do worry about it coming from the viewpoint of wisdom. Don't come to church naked. What you will put on, is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Now look at this. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feed them. Are you not much more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to the stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. What is he talking about? There's two things mentioned here. Number one, he says the birds of the air. Have you ever run into a bird that's saying, "And do you got any? You got any seed for me? You got any seed? I'm really concerned. No seed on their deck here. And can you? No, you don't see the animal kingdom. Somehow, the animal kingdom takes care of itself. Also, have you noticed the lilies of the field or the grass? How many of you know that when grass grows, it's subject to decay? Did you know that lilies in the field are subject also to decay? Did you know that it talks about them being clothed with something? Even though they're susceptible to decay, there's a clothes about them that far exceeds even what Solomon had. What is it that Solomon was not clothed with, that the lilies of the field or the grass? What is it that they're clothed with that he wasn't? Are you ready? Peace. Peace. Even though the grass knows that tomorrow it might not be there through the elements, but it's peaceful. Have you ever went out into your lawn and your lawn had not been watered for a few days because of the heat? Well, that's not mentioned here in Washington. But anyway, has your grass ever spoke to you and say, if you don't give us water right now, I want water? No, they don't say anything. You just go out and you find grass in peace. Even in decaying, it's in peace. It's something to think about, because what the Bible is telling us is you need to think this way. You need to think this way. He says, even Solomon was not clothed in peace, and yet he had bucks up. Now, with that thought in mind, go over to 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm going to close here on this, because we got to get into water baptism. But I want to show you something that the Lord shared with me on how to deal, or how you should deal. Doesn't mean we all do it, but how we should deal with stress or cares that come at us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it's very interesting. Here it talks about casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, when I was looking at this verse the first time I saw it, it didn't make sense to me. And here's why it didn't make sense to me. Because my mind can sometimes get analytical. And it said, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Well, right away, it just sight value, I said, why would he tell you to throw your care over on him, because he has the same care on him? That's what I was thinking. But when I went to the Greek, the original text, it does not, the translators put it in there, for he cares for you, is not in the original text. There is no text that even mentions it. And here's what it says, casting all your care upon him, for it matters. For it matters concerning you. So when you get into a care or a stress or a worry and anxiety, you know, all of us feel like if God only understood, if he only understood what I'm going through. How many of you thought that way? Come on. I'm not the only liar in here. I've thought of that. Does he really care? You know what? He knows what you have need of. He knows what you go through. And you know what? When you are in anxiety, when you are in stress, when you have a care about you, he does not look down on you. He looks to do something for you because you matter to him. And that's what you have to understand about worry and anxiety and stuff. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But God will make a way of escape for you that you are able to bear it. Glory to God. I love my Lord. Man, how I think doesn't really move him in any one direction from the promises that he gave us. He's looking to get us to amplify the understanding of what he's promised us for that very thought. Because he supplied it for us. Now, I'm preaching real good whether you like it or not. Hallelujah. And so he says, casting all your cares upon him, for it matters concerning you. And I looked up, okay, what does it mean to be casting? Do you know this is a very interesting word, casting all your cares upon. Did you know that when you get over there in Matthew 6 and Luke 12 and start talking about worries and anxieties and stuff, you won't find that there. There is no such thing as worry in your Strong's Concordance. And there's no such thing as anxiety in your concordance. You know what's in your concordance? The King James Version over the New King James. The King James Version had it right. It said, why take thought? So when you get into worry, stress, or care, what is your prayer life like? What are you seeing with your mind? What is it doing for you? Well, it's not, you're not getting into a position of willfully sinning. You got a legitimate care about your life because you can see it. But if you allow what you see move you from the promise, you're doing yourself in, not God. He's not going to pick on you and say, you rat, you, you're sinning because you're in worry. Somebody told me, don't say, take care. You know, somebody said, okay, take care, brother. No, I won't do that. I heard one Christian say to the other, I ain't going to do that. Don't throw that on me. And I looked at that brother and I said, what in the world is he referring to? As if the one brother said to the other, worry. Be in anxiety, brother. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, take care, meaning what? It matters to me where you're at. It's a positive thing. You know, people who are prone to a lot of worry and care and stress all the time, they never think positive. They always think negative. When somebody told me to take care, I said, yes, I will. Thank you. For it matters concerning me. I'm going to take care, but it's not like you think I'm taking it. I'm taking my care through the promises of God. So this word casting all your cares, you know what? Because the word worry and anxiety is not there, in the Greek it's always, why take thought? And this word casting, taking thought here, literally means when something comes at you in the form of a thought, you know what this word says? It says, immediately you are to flick it aside. You're to flick it. That's what it means in the Greek there. It means literally to fling with a quick toss. You know what worry does and anxiety? It's a form of you meditating on what you're seeing that is not through the promises of God. And so when those thoughts come at you, it means to give it a quick toss, epi, Meros, meaning over on the promise of God. Immediately do it. Don't meditate on it. Some people, the only thing that ever comes out of their mouth is what comes out of their natural being. Well, we don't realize how powerful the words can do harm to our thinking. Now, here's what I want to close on. He's saying what Satan loves to do is he loves to come at you with the wrong thoughts so that they'll take you captive. So that makes you think you're his prey. I'm going to tell you something about the devil. Did you know, I heard a preacher say the devil has no power. People, that is a bald-faced lie. The devil has power. But what the devil lost over the believer is authority. Authority is what channels power. And so what Satan has to do is have to deceive you into surrendering your authority to him so that he can work his power in your life. Ooh. So he can work his power in your life. He ain't going to work his power in my life, you lying devil. Flick that thing off over on the promise. See where that thing landed? Epi means superimpose it on top of the promise, and that sucker will disappear. Knowing this, and this doesn't help in closing, knowing this, the same things are accomplished in your brother. Meaning, you're not the only one going through things. So are your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But the writer was telling us, how do you deal with it? Well, when those thoughts come at you that are against God, flick that thing out of there. Get out of here, you boot. And don't throw it into air. Throw it on a promise of God. Now, here's something about this. According to 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10, the reason you need to take this understanding and example to you, because it does some things to you. It perfects you. It establishes you, it strengthens you, and it settles you. And that's very interesting because I got news for you. When people are in care, strife, and worry, they become distracted. They wander all over looking for something to help them. And God's promises are there to help you. Did you guys get something here today? It's about time we do some flicking. Amen? It's about time we do some flicking. If I see you going, I'll say, yes, amen. Take some pride in getting rid of some of them thoughts. They don't do you any good. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your wonderful people. Father, I pray that they take the example that I shared today about the cares and stress of this world, that they're not in condemnation, but Father, they know what they have to do. They have to just flick that thought right out of their life. Put it over onto the promises of God. Father, you're so wonderful to provide your promises to us. And we're not going to be neglectful nor be absent-minded about it, but always remember what you've done for us. We love you so much, and we want to enter into eternity and be with you forever. That's the desire of everyone's heart here, Father. And may they have a good, wonderful day, and may they have a good, wonderful week. And may the team that they are desiring to win, win in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.